It's Memorial Day weekend, and we had to give you a good old pod to celebrate the three-day holiday kickoff to start the summer. We got a lot to discuss. OTAs got way shorter, plus an interview with Logan Thomas, and a way too early prediction on the offensive and defensive player of the year, where the boys, Michael Phillips and John Keim, join us. Let's go.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's Washington Football Talk Podcast. My name is JP Finley. Pete Haley and Mitch Tischler are here, too. We're brought to you by the great folks at Forsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, want you to do the exact same thing. Gentlemen, what's going on, boys? How you doing?
Looking forward to an awesome weekend here.
What do you guys have planned for Memorial Day? I am driving to the beach.
I have 3 rounds of golf and 3 barbecues planned. So there's a lot going on. Plus, Carver turns 1 this weekend, so we got a big cake for him.
That is
They grow up so fast, don't they, Mitchell?
You're telling me, Pete.
Hang on to everybody. Where? Yeah, I'm playing 1 round of golf with Mitch, I hope. Weather pending. And then aside from that, going on a Nats game tonight, Thursday, and Saturday. So much baseball. And then Sunday and Monday, just kind of hanging out.
2 Nats games, Pete. That's ambitious.
Yeah, it's a little bit too much, but I'll just gamble on them and hopefully come out on the right side.
Who are you going with Saturday? You taking Kim to a game? I know it's not Kim, Thursday night's the media extravaganza.
Yeah, Kim and myself are going with my friend, the Punch E, for longtime podcast listeners, a.k.a. Marcus, and his lovely bride-to-be, Scarlett, are coming up and sleeping at the apartment, and we're going to go to the Nationals Brewers Showdown.
That's fun. Is the puncher out of your life now?
Pretty much, yeah. I'll see him probably once every couple months at some random hangouts. But puncher out, punchy in. I'm planning the punchy's bachelor party, so we need to do shtick on that later in the summer. And when it comes to you guys helping me out with that, we are going to do it. We are going to do it.
Let's go.
I'd love to hear that. I am actually going to broadcast the radio show on Friday live from Starboard. What do you think about that, Mitchell?
Is that happening?
Yeah, I got to call Monty when I get off the phone, when I get off the bus.
Is Starboard going to be open? I guess it is.
Yeah, but like I think they're going to set me up in kind of a back room or something. I don't know. We'll find out. But let's get down to business.
Your remote at Lone Oak was ambitious.
Right.
This is 10 times that.
Lost Rhino, for starters. Yeah, I'll make it work, dude. I have my head on my shoulders sometimes. Lot to discuss here. We have an interview with Logan Thomas, and we had Phillips and Keim come on the pod to do our way too early prediction. But a little bit of news off the top. I want to start with the Jay-Z thing from Burgundy Blog. Pete, did you dig up the old audio?
I did. So it was from March 24th, an episode about the ownership. That was when Dan got the whole debt waiver thing. And you unveiled the theory over a stretch of about 12 minutes. It was disjointed. Mitch and I were guessing it was bad. So I tried to chop it up as best I can, but I can drop it right here. Here's where JP first kind of discussed the possibility of Jay-Z becoming a minority owner in Washington.
I also have a super wild card. You want me to drop it now?
Yeah, please.
Here's the thing. Like, Snyder has to get this debt limit waived, and then he gets 100% of the team, and then he can bring back other investors. Like, he can get rid of this debt in a minute. You know what I mean? Like, and he'll probably be able to sell way less of the team, and he will probably vet these people significantly harder, even though like him and Char got along really well for a long time. And then everything went haywire. Who knows, man, but this is my super, super wild card. My boy Jed, this is his theory, and it's a really good theory. You guys ready for this? You both know Jed.
I love Jed theories. This is going to be excellent.
Who has gotten significantly more involved in the NFL over the last 5 years, I would say, on a national level? All right, that's your first clue. Does anybody know where Greg Resch came from, the new chief financial officer of the Washington football team?
No. Don't know a lot about Greg Rush.
That's two hints. And I believe, and this one is speculative, but I'm fairly certain. Hell,
what is it? Gears are turning.
No, I'm trying to remember. The name, you remember the name of the, my gear. So listen, Jedi threw this idea out to me a while back and I was like, dude, you're nuts. And
so somebody who's gotten significantly more invested is, and I think I'm right.
Invested. I didn't say invested. I did not say invested. Involved. I said involved. Listen, a dude like Greg Resch, that is a CFO of an NFL team, has worked lots of places. There's one place that stands out to me in my wild card theory here.
Oh, I know the answer to this.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
So what's your guess?
So
this is a super, super wild card guess for somebody that will be a very, very small stake investor is my thought.
So here was
this should probably be at the end of the podcast, Frank.
Yeah.
Not to lead it.
Well, at the rate we're going, it's going to be at the end of the podcast.
This is all right. Well, I don't think Mitch has an actual guest. I think he just wants to act like he has a guest.
You want me to give you my guess? And I think that it's crazy, which maybe is Jed's theory.
Oh, my God. Say it, for God's sake.
Jay-Z?
Jay-Z!
Why would Jay-Z become a minority owner of a team?
Yo, because do you know how much money is in being a minority investor in a sports team?
Sure. Dude, how much money he has?
Not as much as, dude, you know what rich people do? They buy things that grow and then they sell them.
This is HOV with the WFT, baby.
That was from 2 months ago. I first heard this theory back last winter. And I can't remember if my buddy who kind of hinted me at it wants me to say his name or not, so I won't.
It's in the previous recording, so you can go ahead and say
it. Okay, so shout out to my guy Jed. But I think that's gonna happen, and I think it's interesting. I think it's a big deal. I think Jay-Z can help get a stadium deal done. Because Beamish and I screamed about this. Beamish's point is valid also. He's like, listen, man, Dan Snyder owns a $4 billion entity. He gets his calls returned. And that is certainly true. And Jason Wright wouldn't have been hired for this job if he wasn't the guy to get it done. I just think politicians would rather take a picture with Jay-Z and Dan Snyder than just take a picture with Dan Snyder. So that's kind of my thought. Curious what you guys think. I think it's a big deal. I think Jay-Z could be part of the rebrand, new uniforms, all that stuff that he's really cool at doing. This team could use some cool factor to it. Mitchell, what did you think?
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. It sounds plausible now, JP. I definitely doubted you 3 months ago when we first started, or 2 months ago when we first started talking about it. To me, I think the biggest hurdle in all this, I think from, as I think about it, just kind of logically, I think both sides, I don't know that Dan Snyder wants a co-owner that's going to be as more famous and out there and probably thought of in the public more than him as the owner. And then from Jay-Z's side, I don't know that he's going to, it'd be interesting to find out, but I don't know how into owning a team without having any actual control of it he would be. So if he's a, you know, let's say he takes over.
Two quick retorts to that.
Go for it.
One, Dan hates spotlight. I think he's happy to not have to like be in front of things. I remember this is the same dude that brings McConaughey around and Tom Cruise around. I think he loves having like famous people around and not necessarily having to be in front of cameras and stuff. And two, I mean, Jay-Z already did this. He owned a piece of the Nets and he had zero control. So yeah. Those would be my retorts.
How well did the Nets thing go for him?
He made money.
Sure, but he wasn't in there long. And my only quick retort to the Dan Snyder thing is, the team seems to be turning a corner, which we all kind of agree on here. And if, let's say, Jay-Z comes on this summer and the team is back-to-back NFC East champs, how much are people going to, oh, under Jay-Z's leadership, you know, this sort of thing, and all of a sudden the whole credit situation starts popping its ugly head up again. I think it'd be awesome for the team because the name and the glitz and the glamour that comes with it, Jay-Z and Beyonce dropping Washington Football Team and players' names into songs and music and obviously everything that comes with it would be awesome and great exposure for everybody. I just don't know that I see that it's going to come together, but it'll be interesting.
Paranoid Mitch there, all worried about this. Yeah. I think it's just going to be pretty simple and pretty fun. And yeah, when I think of best buddies and like, you know, perfect match, I think of Dan Snyder and Jay-Z. So it's going to be an interesting pairing, an odd pairing, but I think it happens. And it's going to be a really good way to kind of get this younger fan base to buy in a little bit. I know Jay-Z isn't like the youngest rapper out there. Maybe doesn't have such a grab on 15 and 20 year olds, but I do think it draws quite a bit of eyeballs when you have one of the greatest artists in the generations before us taking over your football team.
Yeah. And I don't think there'll be a leadership discussion at all, because like, I think we're talking about a 2-5% ownership stake. Like, I don't think anybody will confuse it. He's not going to be the controlling partner. Like, it'll still obviously be Snyder's team in my mind. All right, that's the Jay-Z thing. A little bit of news with OTAs. Want to let you guys react. Ron has canceled the third week of OTAs, the third week of phase three of OTAs, and instead is moving up mandatory mini camp a week. In essence, he's giving the guys their summer break a week early. And we were all told via text message that the reason it's happening is Ron is really happy with the kind of enthusiasm, participation, and crispness of the off-season workouts. And to reward the fellas, he's giving them an early week off. I'm good with it. I imagine the players love it. I think when you can get players really happy, they should show up to training camp really ready to go. There is a part of me though that's like, man, you guys did just go 7-9. Like, probably shouldn't be holding parades quite yet.
Yeah, I think I couldn't help but think of like if Jay Gruden did this, he would have gotten slaughtered. But I guess Jay didn't have, you know, a good first year with a playoff appearance. I mean, we hear how much the players like Ron. This is going to help his case a little more, and just with the participation being so good in that first OTA, I don't think it made any difference towards week one and beating the Chargers. But I do think it was a small sign that this franchise is continuing to go in the right direction to becoming just a stable, normal organization. So I'm glad Ron is so pleased, and I'm glad the players will enjoy it. And as long as they come to training camp in late July, ready to knock their heads and pads against each other, then this will all be great. And who doesn't love an early summer vacation, right, Mitch?
Love an early summer vacation. More time to wear a cutoff t-shirt there.
Yeah.
I like the move. I think it further cements kind of what we were talking about a little bit on the last pod with, you know, Ron has the trust of these guys, and no better way to keep building that, the camaraderie and the respect and the trust and the all that stuff than by giving them a break early. My only one kind of glimmering thought in the back of my head about it was I just flashed to after the season last year, Ron talking about, man, I should have really held a competition at quarterback. I shouldn't have just given it to Dwayne. I wonder if things are a little rough early in the season, maybe he might have that glint of, man, maybe it's just my second year and there are a lot of new guys learning the offense, a brand new quarterback, brand new receiver, a lot of guys, new guys on defense too. Man, maybe I shouldn't have cut it short, but man, he's building that rapport with those guys and he's giving them, you know, every opportunity to trust him. And that's, I think that goes a long way once the season starts.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mitch. Like, cool move, I get it. But I'm also like, sure. But a couple of thoughts. Looking around the league, and I haven't done enough digging on this, like, was their attendance that much better than other teams? Because I know there were teams that said they weren't coming at all to phase one and phase two. But, like, phase three, pretty much everybody's showing up. Maybe Ron is happy about the participation, because I'm pretty sure I got told it was like 75 players came to phase one and phase two. And now there's 86 at phase three. Does that stand out among the rest of the league? Like, what do the Giants have? What do the Eagles have? Do we know that?
The Ravens had 80 players.
I don't think it really matters whether it stands out to other teams. It's probably just Ron having a feel of what the guys were not only there, but bought in and practicing hard. And the rookies were asking questions, and the veterans, he had one story where the defender told another younger player, "Hey, we don't walk here. We run from drill to drill." I think it's, you know, who cares what the other 31 teams are doing? As long as yours are taking care of business, maybe you can give them kind of this little treat here in hope of future return later in the offseason.
Yeah. And I think you look at kind of just almost contract situation. The former regime used to put all those workout bonuses for OTAs where guys had to show up to 75% of it. Josh Norman, DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, all those deals had those workout bonuses in it. And so the guys were basically forced to show up, more or less. Now you can almost look at it as, you know, Ron has the goodwill with the players. So when they start negotiating contracts, they can have more guaranteed money without having to have performance bonuses that way and kind of extrapolate it out that way. It all goes back to the goodwill that Ron's building with the players. I think it seems like most of the teams around the league had around between 60 and 80 players there or so. So maybe Washington is just at the upper end of it. But I mean, you think about it, you know, for years where it was such a battle to get guys to show up, and the fact that he's able to do that, I think you can tip your cap to them and give them a little bit of a break moving forward.
Yeah, I think those are all fairly good points. And obviously Ron's built up a lot of goodwill. It's also interesting that Chase and Montez aren't there and they're getting a week of OTAs off when it's great attendance, but maybe not your best player being there, but I don't really think that stuff matters. I want to go to the Logan Thomas interview. I want to thank Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You should do the same. Check them out, OrsmanVA.com, 6 locations all over Northern Virginia. Let's go to Logan, unless you two have something else to add. Baseball Pete and Barbecue Mitch.
I hope you have a great time with your family over the weekend and you rest up, and it's just a really fun couple days for the Finns.
When are we back at OTAs? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Yes.
Okay, Pete, I appreciate that. It seemed weird, like you think I need to rest up, but whatever, I'll take it.
I don't know. You're a busy effing dude, and you get to hang out with your daughters and your wife for a while. Enjoy it.
I also would like to point out that you do that great segment on Fridays with Red Bull and or Vodka Red Bull Fridays or whatever. You might actually do that at Starboard there.
I might.
Orange Crush Fridays.
Oh, that sounds tremendous. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I told Steve Sands that I was doing this, and Sands is good buddies with Monty, and Sands said it was a really bad idea. So we'll see what happens.
I think we all agree it's a bad idea.
I think it'll be fine. Look, dude, the weather's going to be awful. My in-laws' place at the Bay is not that – like, if my daughters and my niece is going to be there, you're talking about a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old, and there's not that much space for me to go do the race. Like, where am I going to go? I think Starboard might be a safer location than that house.
It's just funny that it's like, it's either the house or the most famous bar in the area. There's no in between. Like, you couldn't have found a place in the middle.
Right.
I don't know anybody at the beach to like ask. If I was, you know, like.
You should be doing it in the back of Grottos. Out.
JP, you could have just tweeted it out. You would have gotten 30 offers, but I understand it is what it is. It's cast in stone. Go drink some beers and orange crushes and piss off those editors over there. I'm okay not having to deal with that
one. Dude, you should have done it for Midway.
You know, should have done it for Midway. In a hurry, Mitch?
We just did a ton of analysis on the coach canceling OTAs. Just patience is running a little thin. JP's cut out 40 minutes on this drive. It's talking to a freaking robot. Alien robots.
Let's go to Logan Thomas.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
All right, we're very excited to bring back Mr. Logan Thomas, football team tight end, to the Washington Football Talk podcast. Logan, how are you, man? How's the offseason going? How different is it this year knowing you're settled in Washington in your position compared to last year when COVID was going on, you were a free agent, you had just signed here? It's got to be a different season for you now.
No doubt. Definitely super happy to be back. I've been in flux kind of, you know, my whole career. So it finally feels good to feel like I'm at home somewhere. Last year, COVID, yeah, I was sitting at home kind of just doing video, doing whatever I can just to, you know, figure out what the offense is going to be like. But going into this year, obviously I've been around. I'm a guy that understands the offense pretty well. So it's different for me this time. I'm trying to pick up the small things, the nuances for our installs now. So I'm super excited to go into training camp, get with the guys and see what we can do this year.
There's going to be some new guys in that huddle. Ryan Fitzpatrick, certainly Curtis Samuel, Adam Humphries. How excited are you for maybe a revamped offense, at least new skill position guys?
No doubt. I think we laid a good groundwork with a bunch of the guys that we had there last year, guys that are still there now, and you know, guys that have actually been in the, you know, Curtis has been in the offense, so he understands the standard. The new guys coming in that are going to have to be figuring out the standard, I mean, the groundwork's already laid. All they got to do is jump on, and we'll continue to go. I'm excited to see what the offense can turn into. You know, obviously Ryan is a guy who likes to spin the ball, not really afraid of anything. So he's one of those guys that it makes the game fun. You know, we have playmakers all over the offense. So I'm just excited to see what it pushes us off to.
Has your career ever crossed paths with Fitzy? Do you guys know each other at all?
No, but I think the day after he signed, me and him talked, just kind of got a feel for each other. And, you know, I can't wait to meet him in person.
Yeah, me too. go ahead, Mitch.
So you talked a little bit about last season, COVID, and, you know, sitting at home. Another year in this offense, how much more comfortable do you feel kind of as you hit the field? Do you feel like you're going to be able to play a little faster, a little more free, kind of knowing exactly what the coaches want of you and exactly – you know, what the playbook asks and whatnot?
Yeah, I think towards the end of the last season, I think you saw our whole offense get that understanding. And so for me, we're going through installs now, and I'm just picking up small things that I wouldn't normally have thought about or really picked up on last year. And just because I don't have to think about my assignment for that play at that time anymore, it's just second nature. So for me, it's just making that little extra.
You were a guy who felt like you skipped like four steps in the development as a tight end. So what's next in your career in 2021? Like, where do you go after you take such a leap forward? What little things are you still tinkering as a player?
Yeah, you just continue to build. As the 16 to 77 jump, like, I always had confidence in myself. If I ever had a chance to be the guy in a role, then I'd do my thing. And I'm just thankful that I had the opportunity last year to do so. I had the faith of the not only quarterbacks, but the coaching staff. But, you know, you got to go get one more, right? Be the goal. Obviously, any player wants to have more than they did the year before. For me, I'd like to have more than 7 wins too. So I'd like to get as many as we can, get a couple more in the playoffs.
I mean, a guy that's been in the league now a number of years, do you watch the draft?
I'll always watch the first round since being a kid to up until last year and this year. I'm just a fan of NFL football to begin with. So I like to, you know, kind of keep my eye on the young guys who are coming in and, you know, put an arm over them and kind of guide them in the right direction, because you can't have too many people that have been in the league, seen a lot, have gone through things in a locker room, because, you know, every situation is different and somebody can relate to somebody.
So I want to ask you about Jamin Davis, obviously, but I kind of – now you came into the league as a quarterback, and quarterbacks always go number one, top five, all that. But a tight end, Kyle Pitts, goes number 4 overall. What's your reaction, and what do you think of his game?
Yeah, that dude's tough as nails, man. He's a baller. He's a dude. All the words you use for a guy who's a stud, man. He's every bit what you want. I mean, I saw his interview. He talked about he wanted to be better in the run game. And, you know, looking at some of his tape, he did very well in the run game in the SEC. So, I mean, this is a guy who who's not afraid to make plays and can ball. And number four, I think that just sets the precedent for our position and how our position has actually taken off in the, you know, the last couple of years.
So you say our position at tight end now, was that hard for you to like I do the radio now, but I still think of myself as like a blogger. You know what I mean? Like, when did you convert from being a quarterback to being a tight end?
Yeah. So it took a little bit of time. But really, once you start every single day, the grind starts wearing. So it probably took, I don't know, 8 weeks into my first full season playing tight end until it settled. It was like, you know, all right, quarterback's out of the way. My mind frame's completely changed. It's all, you know, all tight end related now. And, you know, people, you know, like a couple times last year, they said, hey, you're the emergency guy and somebody gets hurt. There's just one left. I'm like, look, man, if I have to go in there, don't expect greatness. I'm just going to go in there and throw that thing.
Did you see that with the new number rules, Pitts is wearing number 8?
Oh, man. It's going to be not only for defensive guys picking up offensive guys, but for offensive guys picking up, like, linebackers wearing 9, safeties wearing 8, corners wearing 6. That's going to be tough because a lot of that's dictated. Like, you don't even have to think about it. You look up, oh, there's a 50s number. It's either DN or a linebacker. It's not even hard. But when you do the, you know, single digits, anybody can wear it. You're gonna be like, oh gosh, what positions he's playing? Is he the Sam? Is he the Mike? Is he the safety? So that's where you're really gonna have to focus and do some film study.
You talked about the conversion from quarterback to tight end. Tim Tebow's going through that now. You think he was sitting up in the broadcast booth last year watching you tear it up in the NFC East and was like, damn, I can do that?
Well, he definitely didn't say the D word. I can promise you that. but man, maybe, I don't know. I don't know that I would say I had any bearing on that, but you know, Tebow's always been a competitor. He's one of the greatest college football players of all time. And, you know, he probably was sitting up there going, kicking himself saying, man, I should have done this before when they asked me to, because before I was drafted, I switched to tight end then. You know, hindsight's always 20/20, they say, but you know, so far it's worked out for me. And, you know, for him, you know, I wish him the best of luck because not only is Wayne great football players, but great men.
So the hope with Jamin Davis is that he'll be able to cover a lot of tight ends and smaller guys as a linebacker for Washington. Just what is that like? It seems like wide or tight ends versus linebackers, it's kind of like the new classic battle in the NFL. You're always looking for one who can handle the other. Just when you're across from a linebacker who can handle those things, just how do you think that impacts the defense and makes your job harder, knowing you can't necessarily bully him or run by him when it's just that perfect mix of size and speed?
Yeah, so it allows the defense to be much more multiple when you can have a guy that can do that. A lot of defenses, they can't, you know, walk a big linebacker out there and say, hey, go cover this guy for, you know, 10 snaps a game. It's probably not going to end well. But if you have a guy that's athletic like that, can move like that, especially in base defense when a lot of teams are playing nickel to base now, like to two tight end offenses, they can put the little guy out there to help cover. Well, you know, you can leave big guy out there and you can still, you know, force and fit the run better than you would in nickel. So it's something where defensive coordinators salivate at it, especially when you go into sub. Sometimes you want to leave two high safeties when you're playing a immobile quarterback. So you can play two man and just say, hey, look, you got the tight end, and you leave the two safeties to help roam over top of the deep guy. So, you know, I think it makes, you know, with the defensive line we got, the secondary we got, you just put another guy that can cover out there is, you know, special. I can't wait to, you know, get to talk to him, give him a couple of bit of the knowledge that I got just to help him grow as a player as fast as possible. And he's got a guy that's in front of him named John Bostic. Obviously, all you guys know him, but he is a pro's pro. And the dude knows the game. The dude completely understands the game. And he's going to be just a great guy for him to be around.
Hey, Logan, we really appreciate you taking the time. I know this is your off season and we're appreciative. Is there anything we can help get the word out on your end, charity stuff or social media, anything you'd like to promote?
Honestly, so my grandmother passed a couple months ago, American Cancer Society. She was a breast cancer survivor for many years, for about 20 years. And so everybody just, you know, keep your hearts out to those people. If you have your donations and you want to send it somewhere, please send it there. But for me and the family, we're starting a wedding venue in Lynchburg, Virginia, and it should break ground here within the next month or so. And and then we'll be open for wedding sometime in the next March, April area. And just very thankful and very blessed to still be a part of this team. So
that's very cool.
We do.
I'm sorry to hear about your grandmother, but I'm curious, are you going to get like an internet certificate to actually conduct and hold the, like, will you be the officiant of the weddings? Is that an option?
I think I want to, honestly. Yes. I'd love to marry some people if they wanted me to. Now I would say, go get your own pastor, the person you're comfortable with, but if you're in a pinch, I got you.
I'm telling you, Washington football team fans are crazy. If there's an option for folks down there in the Lynchburg area for Logan Thomas to marry them, I think people are going to sign up.
And you can add, you can say, hey, you can throw me a pass too for a little extra money as well. I could be a part of the package.
Well, he could throw or catch.
Yeah.
Look at you guys. Look at you guys. I might have to pick y'all's brain a little bit more about this.
Well, listen, Pete's about ready to get married. So you got Logan there to take care of you, Pete.
Yeah, not true, but I think I will keep Logan in mind when the time comes, Mitchell.
And I'm trying to tell you, when my wife, puts all the stuff out there, you got to take a look. It's going to be crazy.
That's awesome.
She's a mastermind with that.
Very cool. Well, thank you very much for the time, man. Get back to your family and enjoy the off. We're hoping we see you before August, but who knows what's going to happen?
Who knows? I'll be in the building from Monday to Thursday. So, I don't know what you guys are going to
do. We will not be. But,
well, I know that. hopefully sometime before that.
All right. Thanks very much, man. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, Logan.
All right, we are very, very honored to have our esteemed panelists, Michael Phillips and John Keim, for our way too early season predictions. Here's what we're going to do. Offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, and Pete came up with a category that I think is pretty good. It's the Cam Curl breakout player. Doesn't have to be a rookie, but it has to be somebody that has not had a big role that will then prove to be able to not only handle a big role, but thrive. I'm down to go around the horn. I'll start. How about that? My offensive player of the year for 2021 is Antonio Gibson. I think he was really good as a rookie. Over 1,000 total yards, 11 touchdowns. He dealt with an injury late in the season. And early on in the season, he had no idea what he was doing. I think he's really just kind of scratching the surface of who he is as a player and can be way, way better. I think Scott Turner loves him. I think the offense should be more functional, so he should get more opportunities. Antonio Gibson, my way too early offensive player of the year.
I'd go with him over Gandy Golden if you're picking Antonio, so that's for sure.
That's a fair, very fair point. Well, go ahead, Phillips. You go next then. I hope it's Antonio Gandy Golden.
No, you know who I really enjoyed in that, watching in that first practice Tuesday? Adam Humphries. I think he had a nice connection with Fitzpatrick. I think they kind of picked up where they left off. They've played together. Both smart players who know where to be. I think he'll be a good third down security blanket. I don't think he's going to be player of the year, but I think he's going to be a real impact player, make some clutch catches for this team.
Answer okay. The question, though.
Yeah, the question is offensive player of the year.
It's Fitzpatrick, man. He's going to air it out. We finally have a quarterback in Washington who will throw it more than 20 yards downfield. How can you not be crazy excited to see how this works? I loved his quote the other day, by the way. He's talking about how he throws it in practice. Look, I throw it to the spot where it needs to be, regardless of who's standing there. And then afterwards, I go back and coach him up, let him know why they need to be there. That is the attitude we need in D.C. So excited for this offense.
My only concern with that is I think he also throws it to the spot he wants him to be in the game, regardless of if his team or the other team is in that spot.
Well, and I'll say this, and looking at his stats 2 years ago on throws of 20 or more yards, 19 for 52. Last year, 11 for 17. So it's not like he's just bombs away. I think he was a lot more efficient in that area last year, and maybe it's the style of the offense or who he has around him. But I just think he's more willing to not just dump it off. That's for sure.
For sure.
How can I not go with Mitch Tischler when he's wearing a sleeveless shirt like that? I mean, my God, So Mitch is automatically the MVP there. So, I mean, nobody's brought up Wes Schweitzer yet. So, I mean,
don't steal my guy.
Listen, I'm going with JP's guy too, Antonio Gibson, for some of the same reasons. I mean, the first four games, that guy was playing on instincts, had no clue what he was doing. The last five games of the year, he averaged almost 5.4 yards per carry. And they're going to expand. I would assume they're going to expand his role because they always talked about that and getting him a little bit more involved in the pass game, not just in terms of catching the ball, but in where he's lining up and what he's being asked to do. And when you have, if they have the kind of year they want, they are going to want to run the ball and to protect leads or whatever. So that's going to give him more chances. I also think that having more of the talent around him, they can expand on that offensive creativity. You have Samuel, McLaurin outside, and you can line up, you can throw out McKissick wide out with Gibson in the backfield, whatever. You have some options there, I think, that are going to create some openings. Plus, last thing is, if that line is better, as they hope, with Leno on the left side, we'll see if Cosme on the right side is better. But if Sadiq Charles can help him inside, or Eric Flowers, whatever, if that line's better, it's going to give Gibson a lot more opportunities for some big plays, I think.
I think I'm going to go off the board a little bit because I think I know where Pete's going to go with this. I'm going to go with Curtis Samuel. I think he's going to be touching the ball in so many different ways. And while I think Antonio Gibson is poised to have a bigger season this year than last, I wonder if having a player of Curtis Samuel's ability to carry the ball and also catch the ball in the back, out of the backfield in those ways is going to cut into some of Antonio Gibson's touches. And I think between those plays in the backfield that we kind of expect that we're going to see, and obviously lining up on the outside, I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities to make plays. And I think he might be the key cog to this offense this year.
Well, I'm pissed off. I had a ticket on Jaren Christian, and then we all saw what happened last week. So I'm going to have to go somewhere else, and I'm not going where you think I'm going, Mitch. I'm going to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick as well, because I think he's going to have so many weapons, and there's going to be games where it's Terry, and there's going to be games where it's Curtis and Logan and Gibson. But I think the key component to all of that, the first half of all these throws, is going to be coming from Fitzpatrick. I think he's going to have a season similar to 2015, where he threw for more than 30 touchdowns. He had two really good receivers. He's going to have the best defense he's played with. Give me Fitzpatrick to continue his late career renaissance with the Burgundy and Gold and win the Washington Football Talk Podcast Offensive Player of the Year Award.
All right, so just recapping here, Kime and I have Gibson, Phillips and Pete have Fitzy, with Phillips giving a random nod to Adam Humphries along the way.
that was kind of weird.
I thought you were going to go Adam Humphries.
I kind of liked it. I thought he was going for the big ticket, like 100-1 odds. But yeah, he just was talking about him.
After Phil won this weekend, I'm betting on old guys.
I like it. And Mitch went Curtis Samuel. So, Mitch, you thought Pete was going to go Terry?
I thought Pete was going to go Terry. It didn't affect my pick, but that's where I was positive Pete was going to go. He's right, president of the Terry fan club.
I mean, it's important to point out that Mitch is wearing a sleeveless T-shirt, because when Russell wears sleeveless T-shirts on Zooms, we give him a lot of grief. So it's only fair to really hammer home that Mitch is wearing a sleeveless T-shirt.
No, Mitch is pulling it off.
I thought it was the Craig Hoffman tribute.
I've been working on my hip fluidity and my shoulder strength.
I saw, speaking of Russell, he was in the office of the radio station for the first time in over a year, I think, today.
I bet that went well.
I bet he was hard to notice. I bet you couldn't feel his presence at all.
He had Ray-Ban sunglasses on that looked pretty slick. And I'm guessing they were new, because he was in the office for a half hour indoors where it's not bright, wearing his sunglasses the entire time, until I finally started giving him a hard time about it. He changed them. But I thought you guys would want to know that information.
JP, do you ever walk around the radio station, notice the collection of characters there, and wonder what you're doing there?
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
I thought TV people were weird. I thought reporters were weird. Radio people are next level weird.
Hey, JP, have you ever thought about giving some doofus an ability to eat a cicada?
Yeah. It's a big megaphone. And if there's morons out there that want to eat cicadas, I'm your huckleberry.
Give them a couple nickels, maybe 30 bucks or something like that.
You won't step out of your car and grab a cicada right now?
Yeah, you're right. I will not. My car is, the doors are staying shut, and I'm staying here on this show.
All right, let's move on to... Well, so we're going to do our way too early defensive player of the year. Is anybody not going to pick Chase Young? Because you can start if somebody is.
Oh, I'm not. Do you want me to start or go last?
Well, are you going to talk about a different player and then your defensive player?
He's going to talk about Jimmy Moreland first.
Right. Go ahead, Phillips. The floor is yours. Talk.
All right, I'm buying my
however many players you want.
I am buying my 200-to-1 ticket on Kalik Hudson, by the way. But if I'm actually picking my defensive player of the year, I want Deron Payne. Because, look, I think this guy is actually underrated for how good he is.
I agree with that.
On just how much he impacts games in the run, swallowing up double teams, pushing guys around. He might be the strongest dude on the team just in terms of raw strength. I think people are really coming around on just how good he is.
To your point, Philly, and this is probably an unpopular opinion, frankly. If I was the Washington football team, I'd be trying to get an extension done now with Payne rather than focusing on Allen. If you can lock Payne up now when you still have another year of rookie option and you're getting it done before the big jump next year that's coming, I think that would be more advantageous. I'm not saying don't sign Allen, but the smart teams – get those contract extensions done before the fifth-year option for these stud players.
They have been reluctant to do that with guys who you can control for two more years. But you know they're going to want to keep him around. So,
dude, he just turned 24. I know. Not 26. Not 25. 24.
Prices do not go down. They only go up. Lock in now.
Well, the other thing with him is that he does play a role that they really don't have anybody else to fill that role,
which makes the nose a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Like that nose, the ability to play over the nose is gives him a unique standing in this team.
We also all kind of lauded the team for doing the Matt Ioannidis deal when they did, because they got a couple of years at a little bit of a cheaper price, but that contract's up at the end of next year also. So you're going to have both Payne and Ioannidis coming up together.
Well, and Settle comes up after this year, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Allen this year, and then Payne and Ioannidis next year.
But the other thing with Payne, I think, if I'm the agent, I might just say, well, what's the rush? Unless you want the security, because you look at the way the cap is going, and it's going up quite a bit next year, and it'll go up again the following year after that. So
Allen's agent, I'd be saying the same thing. I get the public posture of, oh, I want a deal, I want to be here forever. But if I was the player, I'd be like, no, I'm a chill, and we'll see what happens next year.
Well, listen,
this thing goes to 220.
That's Brandon Sheriff.
Right. Like, so Phillips, you did good there, but slight wrist slap. The financial, wisdom and information, we usually leave that to Pete. So just try to keep that in mind.
I'm the knower of all finances, please. You can do that for your own podcast, Phillips.
No, shout out to Phillips for not having a podcast and being just always available for the radio. Appreciate it.
He's America's podcast guest.
He is. Khan, you want to go? Or does anybody else not have Chase?
I like the talk about Payne. I think that's a nice pick, but I'm going to stick with Chase. I mean, how do you not? And I think too, like, again, if they're in position to do what they think they will, and it's not like, we're not talking about them going 15-2, but if they have more leads than even last year, it gives a guy like Chase Young more ability to get home. And that guy started to really figure it out in the second half of last year. And I think he and Montez Sweat will be even better this year.
Why don't we do this then for the rest of us? Who, if Chase is off the board, let's say, and you have to pick another person that you think would be defensive player of the year, to me, that one's even kind of easy because I think that would be Montez.
I think Montez.
Yeah.
I'll go different than that.
Okay.
I'll do a little bit of a Phillips thing, though. I love all the Deron Payne talk, but I'd said it last year that I thought Matt Ioannidis was going to lead the team in sacks, because I think there's nobody that benefits more from Chase and Montez than Ioannidis, who's probably the best interior pass rusher of those three guys. I don't think he's the guy, but I will take William Jackson III as my guy, WJ3. I think that he's going to make a lot of plays on the outside, especially with all the pressure that the guys up front are going to give. He's going to have plenty of opportunities to get picks and make big plays. So if it's not Chase, who I do think is the defensive player of the year, I'll go WJ3.
WJ3 is a good pick, Mitchell.
I'll probably have to agree with you there. You're wearing a sleeveless shirt. It's a cool look. I kind of just want to be on your side. I think he's going to be the lockdown the side of the field. I think he'll get more interceptions than he had in Cincy, but I think you'll also feel his impact in some of those advanced stats, some of the ways you can't. You're not going to necessarily look at his numbers every week. You're going to look at the number one receiver's lack of numbers, and that's how you'll feel that William Jackson had an impact on a given afternoon.
All right. I feel like that was a fun exercise. Our last one is the Cam Curl breakout. This doesn't have to be a rookie, but it has to be somebody that has not played a large role before. And we're, I don't, Pete, you explain it. This is your category.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, the Da Vinci Code. You pretty much got it. A surprise player who comes out and has a tremendous 2021. And
why don't you start then?
Well, S, I was going to say I don't really have one, so I don't really know where to begin.
I'll go.
Wait a minute, you don't have one?
This was your idea.
Oh,
wait, I had one actually, and I just forgot. Okay, my guy, and it's going to be kind of following the same path as Cam Curl last year. It's Benjamin St. Juice. I think he'll kind of be that guy who's limited in terms of packages early, but you'll see him make a tackle for loss here and a pass breakup there and then have a key pressure. And as the year goes on, he gets more comfortable. They're going to put him on the field more in various situations and certain matchups. And it may not be 90% of the snaps, but I think he'll make his presence felt the times he is out on the field. And we'll look back on him as a really nice find in the third round. And for once on the defensive end of the ball.
Pete, I like that thinking.
Last year it was on the defensive side of the ball.
The award's literally named after a defensive guy.
It was his choice.
Hello. I meant finding a third rounder that impacts the game on defense. Thank you for your.
Wasn't Cam Curl seventh rounder?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Pete, it was a good idea, but the execution could have been a little tighter. He did not stick the landing.
Yeah, well, that makes me the 19th million person on this podcast to, you know, be a little tighter and need to stick the landing a little better. I'm not the first. I won't be the last.
So,
ooh, salty Pete.
Yeah, so you're just trying to dunk on everybody else?
Mitch, who's your guy?
You're the Ja Morant dunk from last night. Just tried to dunk over Rudy Gobert and just no chance at it. I like the way you were thinking. I'm going to go Derek Forrest, though. And maybe it's because we just saw him get a pick in the OTA the other day, but I feel like that there's going to be an opportunity at safety to get a little playing time for some of these young guys, particularly as we progress through the season. So I think that much like Cam Curl did last year, I think a guy like Derek Forrest is going to have an opportunity to get a little more playing time as the year goes. I think he's going to be a special team stud. So he's already going to kind of be in fans' minds from making a couple of big special teams plays. But when he starts seeing the field a little more on defense, I think that's when he's really going to shine. So the Cam Curl Award is going to go to Derek Forrest this year.
I have an eligibility question, Pete. Can I pick Landon Collins?
Ooh, I like it.
Yes, you can.
Now, wait a minute. He's not an unknown guy.
I think part of it is a guy who's never played a whole lot.
I think it's basically you're off the radar, which he is, and he hasn't really done a ton in Washington, which off. Is.
How can Landon Collins be off the radar?
Yeah. He's,
unless Philly is saying that Landon Collins at linebacker is the pick.
Playing linebacker.
Matthews at corner, Phillips.
I initially interpreted it as player who you expect to not do anything, who will do something. Hot take here. I think Landon Collins is good at football, and I think he will have a very big year for the Washington football team.
Hey, guys, I got to go. Talk to you.
All right. Bye-bye. I don't know if Landon counts, but I really like the answer. So you have my approval. Kime that was grumpy about it, and Kime just left. So
yeah,
he got scared.
So you get to stick with it.
I'm just disappointed we didn't do special teams player of the year as well. You know,
go for it. You can pick that also, Philly.
Well, JP, you haven't given yours yet.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm going to let Philly pick a special teamer of the year.
Tressway. All right, JP, you're up.
Also Tressway. I'm going to the other side of the football. You guys are all picking defensive guys. I think I might be the first person on this bus, but John Bates, dude, I think he's going to play a lot. I think he's going to catch more passes than people expect. And I think he's going to be the best blocking tight end Washington's had in a while. I'm trying to think of the last, like, plus blocker they had at the position, and kind of struggling off the top of my head. So I think Bates is going to help this offense. I really do. You guys can react if you want, but
that's my pick. I like it. He's a big dude. He can block. I think there's immediate playing time for him. I think it's a great pick.
I compared him to Gronk on our last podcast, so I believe in it too.
Pete's all in on John Bates.
No, JP is. I'm giving JP credit. He was first. I just was tagging along.
I think – I don't know about the Gronk comparisons, I'll be honest, but, yeah, I think for immediate playing time outside of Jamin Davis, Bates might have the clearest path because
– Cameron Cheeseman has a pretty clear path.
That's true, but he's not going to – how many snaps a game is that dude getting? Maybe 10?
Hopefully there are kicks and not punts.
Right. I'm curious if anybody's at the computer. I know Pete and I are in the car. Pull up how many snaps a game like Sundberg had. I bet he averages.
I think he told us it's like 8 or 10.
Yeah. I mean, say there's 4 scoring chances between, you know, extra points and field goals and then 5 or 6 punts.
Last year, Nick Sundberg had 143 snaps, which over a 16 game season is 9 per
game. Yeah. Well, think about it this way. How many offensive possessions are there? Because probably 90% of those end in a long snap, one way or another. And a couple of them end in the half or the end of the game.
For the record, well, 100%, almost 100%.
Well, interceptions, no, because interceptions are fumbles too.
Yeah, so 98%.
Probably like 95. Expect that to be a – This is in the weeds. I'm surprised Mitch isn't getting annoyed at us. He normally hates the weeds.
No, I like the weeds. JP's the one that gets annoyed with the weeds.
That is not correct. That is not correct.
You always get grumpy when we start getting down some random tangent like we are right now.
Who's going to be the player of the year at the Washington football team media night at Nats Park on Thursday evening? Who's going to stick out to you?
Rusty.
Hold on, you got to tell everybody who's going.
Oh, yeah. I got the list here. GP, Grant Paulson says he's going to drop by as well. So we got
him. Sick.
So me, Pete, obviously. Chris Russell, 106.7 The Fan, 980, whatever he's at now. Sam Fortier, Washington Post. Heather McDonough, NBC4. Nikki Javala, Washington Post. Pam Shvatkin, all medias at all times. Ben Standig, The Athletic.
So I got to say, I have an early vote for MVP on this one. And it's not where you guys think I'm going to go. But now, Phillips, are you coming up from Richmond?
Yeah.
Well, hell, then Phillips probably gets you. Yeah. Don't you need to leave soon?
No, I'm here.
Oh, all right. Now, have you been up here all week? Are you like, are you covering other events? Like, is this just working into your schedule?
No, I got here about an hour ago. I'm strictly here for baseball shenanigans. There was a streaker last night, and, you know, so expectations are very high for what's going to happen tonight at the ballpark.
All right. Well, Phillips kind of ruins my MVP vote. So I'm going to go co-MVPs. Phillips, because he literally is driving from Richmond and has two little kids at home.
And he set this up.
And he set it up, sure.
And bought the tickets and everything, and he's going to go to the bullpen early, get all loose. So, yeah, Phillips is the runaway.
Well, I was just going to say, Heather McDonough, to make it out on a weeknight with two little kids at home, like – if my wife went out on a weeknight to a baseball game and was going to get home at like 11:30, my house might burn down. So,
Heather says it's the first station's taken off in 9 months.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, one thing I've learned, the difference between like the reporter life, and I've learned it with the radio, like when you have like a regular job or more of a regular job in the media landscape, like you can't just do stuff all the time. It's very different. And I'm not sure that I love it, frankly. But I don't know. Who do you think? Phillips, you going to vote for yourself?
You know, I was going to vote for Heather because I think, you know, this is a bit of a wild card entry. I've never hung out with Heather before. She's funny on Twitter. I think she's got a chance to steal MVP. I think Nikki's got an outside shot, too, if I'm handicapping this. I think, you know, she's a Yankees fan, so that's a point against her. But
that is a point against her. I did not know that.
Yeah. Nikki's
she's from North Carolina. How's she a Yankee fan?
Everybody's a Yankees fan. It's ridiculous.
It's when I lived in Wilmington, one of the most ironic things is you had all these people down there that would always complain about Yankees as like people, like, oh, it's another guy moving from up north down here and telling us we don't know how to drive. And yet The Yankee games were on the radio down there. Everybody was a damn Yankee fan. Pete's dad's a damn Yankee fan.
The Greensboro Grasshoppers were the Yankees double-A team for a long time.
Well, Wilmington had no minor league team. Anyway, so two votes, Heather. Well, I gave half a vote Heather, half a vote Phillips. And I guess Phillips gave half a vote Heather, half a vote Nikki. Does that sound right?
No.
I think Heather's got a lot of pressure on her. She's very punny and funny on Twitter. I'm curious if she's going to be able to break it out and at the spur of the moment and not have time to formulate it. So
she's a social butterfly. I think she will excel in that.
I'm going to give it, judging by the phone call I got yesterday, to Ben Standing. I think he wants to have a good time, and I think he's going to have a good time.
Third base Ben.
Whatever he needs to do. Yeah, Blackjack Benny, he might want to go to MGM afterward. I think Ben's got a really good shot here. And Russell will probably be so annoying the entire time.
I'm going with my long shot, and I think Russell's going to be fun as hell. I think he's going to be into it. He's going to be buying beers. He's going to be loving life.
That's true. He always talks about Heineken's, and I respect him for that. He's always like, I'm going to get home and drink a couple Heineken's. So he could be fun.
He might be into it, and he might be fun. But that dude complains about the price of everything. You think he's not going to complain about the price of beers at a baseball game? Yeah.
All right, I think he's going to complain and then begrudgingly order around.
He's got a wide range, a high ceiling and a low floor.
Couple of questions about the baseball game. I would have gone, but I'm driving to the beach. How the hell is McNally not going? He lives like a 10-minute walk away.
McNally is working until 7 and is hopeful to join us afterward.
Okay.
That sounds about right.
If you could,
and where is Paris?
If you could please refrain from rape news between now and 7, that would be appreciated.
Where is Paris? What does he have going on?
That's a great question. Maybe with his mailman girlfriend, the mailwoman.
He like was being all dodgy on the sidelines about it. I know the Nuggets and Blazers play tonight, and he's a Nuggets fan, but like, come hang out, dude. You probably aren't doing anything.
This has been great fun. Billy, thank you, buddy.
Good times. But I think he's going to be a real impact player, make some clutch catches for this team.
Answer okay. The question, though.
Yeah, the question is offensive player of the year.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.